Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is a podcast for you. Welcome to my new podcast. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate, and I'm your hostess with the mostest, Lee Brown. To give you a little background, I'm a realtor in Charlotte, North Carolina, or Concord, North Carolina, or Harrisburg. It depends on how well you know my area as to where exactly you will find me. And I've been in real estate since the year 2000, which makes my math very easy when I'm trying to figure out how long I have been doing this crazy business. And what I can tell you, y'all, is this. When you go to pre-licensing class because you've decided to become a realtor and you know, you love houses and you love people and this is going to be so much fun, you find out that there is not a single thing they teach you in pre-licensing that prepares you for what real estate really looks like. And if you're a consumer, you are probably very addicted to HGTV because that really is television crack. I understand how y'all can watch it nonstop. But the reality is, that's not what real estate is. It's not realistic. In fact, none of those reality shows with realtors, those million-dollar agents, any of that, that's not real either. That is polished up and put out for y'all to look at. Those of us in the trenches will tell you a whole different set of stories. And that's why I wanted to start this podcast. Realtors work really hard. There's over a million realtors in the country. That's just in the U.S. That doesn't even count our Canadian brethren and our realtor friends from all over the world. Also doesn't count real estate licensees because in every state, you can get a real estate license, but you don't have to become a realtor. Those that become realtors are the ones that have agreed to abide by the code of ethics. And for the most part, they have decided to take this much more seriously and with a higher degree of professionalism. I didn't say, oh, that's one of my dreams in life, but we're not there yet. Making progress, though, in that group of a million realtors. The stuff we see, y'all, is unreal. It's not just about these little pretty polished up houses, and it's not about the listing presentations for people who want to sell their home and about unlocking doors, because consumers really do think that realtors are just human super keys that can get them into a house. We deal with all kinds of things. I can tell you that in my 16 years so far of real estate, I've seen a red velvet upholstered master bedroom ceiling. I don't know that I've ever seen one of those on HGTV. I've seen an IV bag hanging from a breakfast room light fixture, which, you know, if you are challenged with your mobility, I guess that could save a few steps or rolls or something, but I still did not figure that one out. I've seen things that would make your hair on the back of your neck stand up, houses that make you just want to cry when you go in. And I'm Southern, so we don't believe in, you know, things like spirits and auras like people in California do, but I have been in houses where it's not a good aura, and I'm pretty sure that if there's a spirit living there, he just wants to get out too, but he has not unlocked the plan. So of the crazy things that I've seen in real estate, I can tell you that one of my most popular videos I ever cut was just me telling a story about demons in a house. And it was crazy because I do believe in the devil, but you know, we don't talk about demons a whole lot in the Southern church. But I can tell you at this particular house, I had a client. And she was from California, so she was all about the aura of a house. And it was aggressively priced. I mean, when you talk about motivated to sell, this thing was priced way below market, as in like six figures below market. So she was an investor. We had to go take a look at it. And we got there, and the homeowner was outside the house at the back door. Now, I'll tell you, if you're a consumer, there's a reason your realtors tell you to stay away when we're selling your house. And there's a reason that when we roll up with our buyers, we're thinking, oh, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, please tell me the seller's not here when we see one because it's going to lead to something interesting. Well, this seller was at the house, and we had to go in through the back door, and she was telling us how to get in, telling us there would be other people in the house because, y'all, this thing was it's like somebody stepped on an anthill. It was so busy with buyers and showings because it was so aggressively priced. So my client and I walked in, and we smelled the smoke because the house had been on fire. And, you know, things happen. The front door, when we saw it, y'all, it was duct tape shut. And then all the way down, remember those little sliding latch things that you used to have on apartments? Remember, you'd have like eight of them if it was a sketchy apartment on TV? So this thing had those lined up all the way down from top to bottom. So that was why we had to come in the back door. You weren't getting that front door open. We walked around the downstairs. We walked upstairs where the smoke got stronger and stronger. There were smoke stains on the walls. You get upstairs to the master bedroom where the smoke's really strong. Go to the bathroom. Now, this house had a walk-in closet in the bathroom. And so when we got over there, we saw that the fire had been in the master closet. All right. Well, that's not something you expect to find in a home is a fire in a master closet. Fires usually happen in kitchens or around electrical panels, not in the closet. So we observed all these things, and then we went back downstairs and walked outside the house and walked around the side, and we saw that on the side of the house where the gas furnace had previously been attached to the house, it was a bunch of duct tape covering up a hole. Well, the fire truck had pulled up out front, and so we walked over and we said, hey, tell us what went on over here, because this was in the town of Huntersville, North Carolina, and Huntersville's not real big. It's a suburb outside of Charlotte, and so the firemen will talk to you. And plus, you know, we were using our every bit of cute Southern girl charm to get the real scoop from the firemen, because it was just so weird. And he said that this particular homeowner had set fire to her own house. And then after she set fire to her house, she did call the fire department to alert them to the situation, which was good because it was in a subdivision where one house of fire could catch a whole street of fire right quick if you weren't on top of things. And as it turns out, she told the fire department everything that had gone on in her mind. Bless her. She said there were demons in her house. Now, and I have never been around demons. I don't know all the rules that go with managing demons. And she said that they had come in through the natural gas line. That's how demons can enter a home. And that was why she had disconnected the gas furnace and closed up that hole on the side with some duct tape, you know, to keep further demons from coming in. And she had installed a heat pump on the house in the meantime, because I guess demons are not fans of electricity. These things happen. So once the demons got in her house, she had to get them out. Well, apparently how you get demons out is burning them out, because I guess fire on fire is the way to go. Although I would have thought ice, maybe you put them in the freezer, but she said fire was how you get demons out the house. So she chased them into the master closet. And once she got them in there, she set a fire and then closed the door and duct taped it shut so that the fire would take care of those demons for her. And since she had called the fire department, which they appreciated her alerting them, and told them that she had set fire to her own house, it kind of disqualified her from her homeowner's insurance kicking in. So my buyer and I were standing outside the house having a look-see. And I said, well, do you want to buy it? Because as a realtor, you have to ask that question no matter how weird the situation is. Part of our professional job is to ask you if you want to buy it. And she said, no. And she waved her hands in the air and she said, this house needs to be cleared. And what's even better, y'all, is that since I had posted that story about the house needing to be cleared, I had lots of people in New Mexico and California that were explaining to me about burning sage and waving some sticks around in the house to clear the house, because, you know, in North Carolina, we are not familiar with those things. But it was the most crazy thing I could have imagined. And that's even crazier than the IV bag and the red velvet upholstered ceiling. And oh, I forgot about the one house that had the chalk outline of a body in the street outside. That was highly entertaining. And frankly, y'all, it was in a neighborhood where it wasn't hard to believe. Oh, and there was one time I was showing a house to a buyer. Her husband was not with us because he was still at work. And so it was high noon. Now, it was high noon, middle of the day. That means the sun was out, because unless you're in Revelation, the apocalypse, the sun is out at midday. And we had made an appointment to see this home. And when you're selling houses, you call the other side and you make an appointment so everybody's aware, given appropriate notice. And she and I pulled up to the house and I rang the doorbell and I walked in and I said, real estate, because I always holler that real loud when I walk in the door, just in case somebody had not completely cleared out yet. We got no response. It was lights off and just fine. So we walked on in and proceeded through half the house, came back through the other half and walked into the master bedroom. And there was the seller, and he was of the male persuasion. And he was passed out, butt naked, spread eagle on the bed. He was starfishing across that thing, y'all. That means laying diagonal with his arms and legs out. He didn't know we were in that house. I about died right on the spot, because I try not to look at naked people unless I've given birth to them or married to them. So I hightailed it out of there. But my client, she tickled me, because she said, well, we've already seen most of the house. I'm going to go on and look at the rest of it. And so she looked at the whole house. Now, she did not buy it, because I can Guess you would imagine that seeing a naked person in the house can be slightly disconcerting and cause you to forget whether or not the house does have a deck or a bonus room. And what's even funnier, y'all, I travel throughout the country and the world teaching, training, and motivating realtors and people associated with sales. And I ask in realtor rooms how many people have seen a naked person in the course of conducting real estate. And I swanny, it's at least 30% of every room. I do not know why we see so many naked people in this business, but maybe there's something to be said about that. And with all of that being said, these are all things that I've seen. Every one of these million realtors, y'all, has some kind of story. And you know what? All y'all consumers out there, you've got stories too. You've got things that we might not even know about and we'd love to hear about. In fact, I hear that realtors having sex in houses is a big hot topic right now. And I don't say hot to be funny. I say hot because it's a popular topic, but I guess it could be hot depending on which realtors are having sex with each other in houses, but that's a different rabbit trail altogether. So I encourage y'all to let me know what stories you have. I would love to showcase them because at its heart, real estate is a very intimate financial instrument that we deal with. It is for most people their largest financial instrument. So when you think about it, these stories are even crazier with the amount of money that we are helping people manage. And as realtors, we don't know what we're going to walk into every time we walk into a home or with whom. And so it's an even bigger challenge to stay on your professional game while you are conducting buyers and sellers through this process of real estate. And again, they don't teach you any of this in pre-licensing, really, neither could they, because I will tell you, every day in real estate is an adventure. Every day is something new. And so I hope that you will subscribe to the podcast because I'm going to bring you stories from every which way in real estate that I can. Some might be interesting to you. Some might be less interesting. But at its heart, I want to showcase how amazing realtors are and how amazing some learn to be after they get themselves into pickles and crazy moments. And as a consumer, I hope that you will get a little glimpse inside the real life in real estate that's not the polished up pretty version. And maybe you'll even call your realtor and tell them thank you for surviving in this business with you. So subscribe to the podcast. Join me for the conversations. Have a laugh. Have some fun. And I will see you every week live with crazy shit in real estate. Joining us this week on the Crazy Shit in Real Estate podcast. If you liked what you heard, please visit crazyshitinrealestate.com where you can access the full show notes for this episode, additional content produced exclusively for listeners, and much, much more.